Ever wondered why some companies consistently deliver exceptional products while others struggle as they grow? The answer often lies not in the talent of their product teams, but in the invisible infrastructure supporting them. In Product Operations, Melissa Perry and Denise Tales reveal the discipline that's transforming how leading organizations build products at scale. This groundbreaking work has quickly become required reading for product leaders at companies like Uber, Stripe, and Amplitude, who credit it with revolutionizing their approach to product development. The book's practical frameworks have gained particular traction in enterprise organizations transitioning to product-led growth models, with many reporting dramatic improvements in decision-making speed and product quality after implementation. As the product management discipline continues to mature, this text stands as the definitive guide to the operational backbone that enables true product excellence. Product management has evolved significantly over the past decade, yet a critical gap has emerged as organizations scale. Picture this: a talented chief product officer joins a growing company, excited to implement strategic product thinking, only to discover she's drowning in spreadsheets and manual data gathering just to prepare for basic meetings. This scenario played out for Ashley at Pipeline 3K, the book's fictional case study company, and reflects the reality many product leaders face. The product operations function emerged organically as companies grew from single products to complex portfolios. As organizations scale, they naturally develop what the authors call mini fiefdoms, specialized teams with siloed information and inconsistent processes. While agile methodologies helped bridge some gaps between business and technology, they didn't solve the fundamental challenge of cross-functional collaboration and information flow. Product operations addresses this by creating the connective tissue between modern software teams and stakeholders, surfacing strategic information, and helping departments understand their impact on the product lifecycle. It's similar to how established operations functions in marketing and sales enable those departments to scale effectively. Some executives resist product operations, believing product managers should handle these responsibilities themselves. However, this perspective ignores the reality that product managers are already overwhelmed with expanding responsibilities. As Sarah Stolovich aptly noted, product managers need to be great at everything, which explains why burnout is common. Product operations allows product managers to focus on their core outcomes, company growth, business goals, customer value, and stakeholder alignment, while providing leaders with the tools they need for strategic decision making. At its core, product operations is the discipline of helping your product management function scale well by providing essential inputs for strategy, prioritization, and streamlined workflows. It creates the infrastructure that enables product teams to make evidence-based strategic decisions and align the company around them. Product operations is built on three foundational pillars that work together to enable effective product strategy and delivery. Understanding these pillars is crucial for implementing the function successfully, as each addresses distinct organizational needs while complementing the others to create a comprehensive product management infrastructure. The first pillar, business data and insights, focuses on collecting and analyzing internal data to track outcomes and connect business metrics with product metrics. This pillar answers questions like, how are our products performing financially? How are our resources allocated across the portfolio? What's the relationship between feature usage and revenue? It encompasses everything from basic usage analytics to sophisticated cohort analysis and predictive modeling. Teams need to track key performance indicators, KPIs, such as customer lifetime value, churn rates, feature adoption rates, and revenue per user to make data-driven decisions. At Pipeline 3K, Ashley discovered a significant gap in this pillar. Despite claims of having a product analytics platform, it had never been properly implemented. Product managers were either learning SQL to extract data themselves or simply guessing. The lack of proper data infrastructure made strategic decision-making nearly impossible. This situation is common in rapidly growing companies where analytics infrastructure hasn't kept pace with product development. The company later implemented a comprehensive analytics strategy, including automated dashboards, real-time monitoring, and regular data review sessions. The second pillar, customer and market insights, facilitates external research, including customer feedback and market analysis. This pillar addresses, what are customers saying about our products? What market trends should influence our roadmap? How does our offering compare to competitors? It involves systematic approaches to gathering voice of customer data through surveys, interviews, usage patterns, and support tickets. Market analysis includes competitive intelligence, industry trend monitoring, and identifying emerging opportunities. Companies need structured processes for collecting, analyzing, and distributing these insights across product teams. The third pillar, process and practices, scales product management through consistent cross-functional frameworks and defines the product operating model. This answers, how do we standardize workflows without stifling innovation? What governance structures ensure accountability? How do we align teams around a common approach to product development? This pillar includes establishing clear decision-making frameworks, documentation standards, and communication protocols. It might involve implementing agile ceremonies, creating product requirement templates, or standardizing prioritization frameworks across teams. While all three pillars create a robust foundation, companies don't need to implement them simultaneously. Instead, they should evaluate their biggest pain points and start there, gradually building out capabilities across all three areas. For example, scale-ups typically begin with data and insights to inform growth decisions, while enterprises often start with governance and operating model to create transparency across teams. Some organizations might prioritize customer insights if they're losing market share, while others might focus on process standardization if they're struggling with coordination across multiple product teams. This framework provides a clear roadmap for implementing product operations based on organizational needs rather than trying to boil the ocean with a one-size-fits-all approach. Success comes from identifying the most pressing needs and systematically building capabilities across all three pillars over time, ensuring each addition provides immediate value while contributing to the larger product operations infrastructure. The business data and insights pillar drives value by helping executives understand the why behind product work. It provides the connective tissue for a holistic view of product strategy impacts on both top and bottom lines. To determine which data informs strategy, product operations uses the layers outlined in Escaping the Build Trap: vision, strategic intents, product initiatives, and options. For strategic intents, prioritized business challenges on the path to the company vision, product operations gathers data about revenue by product, persona purchasing patterns, customer retention, and resource allocation to determine which products solve which problems for different customer segments. For product initiatives, teams need deeper metrics like NPS decreases, feature usage increases, and cross-product adoption that can predict future outcomes. These metrics must be segmented across customer types and cohorts to identify issues with usage and adoption early. At Pipeline 3K, product manager Marcus discovered that mid-sized customers who adopted three products were adding network capability, which helped them close positions 15 times faster. However, onboarding was cumbersome with only 25% completion rates, revealing an opportunity to improve the workflow and increase upsell potential. Once you've identified the questions you need to answer, you must determine which metrics will help and where that data lives. Core engagement metrics typically include product stickiness, DAU/WAU/MAU, frequency, feature adoption and retention rates, and product usage data. Beyond product metrics, tracking R&D resource allocation is crucial. When cross-functional data sources aren't readily available, start with a manual baseline to agree on the views needed to inform and monitor strategy. This process may take several month-over-month cycles to ensure you're measuring the right things, but it demonstrates to cross-functional partners how their data is being used. Product operations should consolidate metrics into effective dashboards for different organizational levels. The Executive and Board Strategy Dashboard provides portfolio-level views of product and business performance, showing roadmap status, ARR by customer segmentation, revenue bridge by initiative, bookings by product, debt views, and portfolio allocations. after completing your manual baseline, automation becomes essential for making quick, data-driven decisions. This investment pays dividends as team members gain rapid access to the insights they need. The automation process includes selecting a BI tool, implementing tagging rules, continuously improving dashboards, and creating different data views for various teams. A powerful example comes from AthenaHealth, where the product operations team tackled a labor-intensive software capitalization reporting process that was consuming over 400 hours of leadership time annually. By leveraging Atlassian's Jira to create a standardized product development lifecycle hierarchy, they eliminated administrative burden while increasing accuracy. The biggest ROI came from unexpected wins beyond their original goal. The team now has a valuable data asset and operating cadence that enables data-backed decision-making at all leadership levels. Customer research often fails not because product teams don't understand its importance, but because of logistical challenges. Sales and customer success may restrict access to clients, and management might fear burdening customers with constant feedback requests. Recruiting research participants is time-consuming, yet there's no excuse for skipping customer research. The customer and market research pillar enables external insights to reach product teams from various sources: wins-loss analysis, customer reviews, support interactions, existing research, and more. Market research provides understanding of industry trends, competition, and opportunity sizing. At Pipeline 3K, Rebecca assembled a cross-functional team to tackle their customer insights problem, discovering that sales already collected extensive customer information in Salesforce that product teams couldn't access. This revelation highlighted three core challenges: accessing internal customer data across teams, streamlining research processes, and making insights accessible company-wide. Product operations for customer insights involves mapping where customer interactions happen, assessing data quality, and creating systems to share this knowledge. The chapter emphasizes that while one-on-one interviews remain valuable, companies often have untapped customer data scattered across departments. Effective product operations creates connective tissue between product teams and customer-facing roles, ensuring insights flow freely rather than disappearing into departmental silos. Even with existing customer data systems, gaps remain that require direct user research. However, companies face common research problems. Repeatedly interviewing the same customers creates echo chambers, insights remain siloed within teams, and product managers avoid customer conversations due to logistical hassles. Market research complements user research by helping teams understand the broader business landscape and quantify opportunities. For expansion opportunities, product teams must evaluate the total addressable market, TAM, serviceable addressable market, SAM, and service obtainable market. In one energy company case study, market analysis revealed that their initial $200 million opportunity would only yield $2 million in 2 years, while redirecting resources to API development could generate $30 million in 1 year. Fidelity Investments provides an inspiring case study in democratizing research. Facing a scaling challenge with just 65 user researchers supporting hundreds of agile product development squads, they established a research operations function to help researchers accelerate their work and extend research capabilities to non-researchers. Their initiatives included UX research frameworks, a user access system that reduced recruitment time from 2 months to 2 days, and a democratization program that trained over 300 associates to conduct unmoderated usability testing. They also built Lighthouse, a research repository containing user, market, customer experience, and third-party research to prevent duplicative work. As product management matures as a discipline, standardization of processes becomes increasingly important, especially in larger organizations. Hubert Pallon, CEO of Product Board, notes that while sales, customer success, and engineering have well-defined methodologies, product management is still developing standardized approaches. The product operating model translates business and product strategies into execution by codifying how teams work together. In this model, the CPO establishes product principles and values, while product operations defines processes for roadmapping, strategy reviews, idea management, and planning, ultimately aligning the entire company around product development. Process can be a loaded word that triggers allergic reactions, but when applied judiciously, it creates valuable structure. Simon Hilton, former director of product operations at Willow, reframes process as method or service, running product operations like an API product with methods that should evolve through versions. At Pipeline 3K, Ashley evaluated their current state across four key components. Roles and responsibilities earned an A with standardized roles and clear boundaries between departments. Processes for product teams received a B with improving execution but inconsistent templates. Guidelines for working with other teams also earned a B after educating teams on the development lifecycle. And governance and annual planning received an F due to ad hoc reporting and chaotic planning sessions. Effective governance ensures work aligns with product strategy through consistent review of objectives and key results, OKRs, with the right decision makers present. Good governance encompasses product oversight, review mechanisms, risk management, compliance, accountability, and continuous improvement, linking processes with strategy and business capabilities. Planning cycles are expensive and time-consuming, with a Product Ops HQ survey showing 25 to 50% of product and engineering teams spend weeks or months on quarterly planning. Companies typically plan annually due to this cost, sacrificing agility. The goal should be implementing cadences for vital conversations that enable responsiveness to market needs. Product operations designs and orchestrates planning cadences, ensuring the right people participate in strategic discussions. They handle organization, create templates for OKR reporting and business cases, manage agendas, track action items, and drive continuous improvement through feedback. They make strategic choices transparent to the organization, implement appropriate software tools, and help select prioritization frameworks that develop a culture of either-or trade-offs rather than yes-and additions that overload teams. After establishing governance and planning processes, Rebecca shifted focus to day-to-day product processes. The key is not standardizing everything, but focusing on templates affecting cross-functional areas and consistent practices. Core standardization areas include idea management, roadmapping, product toolkits, and onboarding. Oscar Health provides an excellent case study in annual planning. Senior Director Claire Hawthorne perfected their process by designing clear input cadences, generating momentum, bringing together key stakeholders, setting focused meeting agendas, and providing simple templates. Oscar divides initiatives into global, organization-wide efforts managed centrally, and local, pod-specific projects with fewer dependencies, giving teams flexibility while maintaining alignment with company goals. When advocating for product operations, you'll face objections from leadership. Common concerns include budget constraints, questions about necessity, and overlap with other roles. Having ready answers to these challenges strengthens your case for implementing this critical function. Product managers don't always welcome product operations, fearing it will take over their work or become merely reactive. Education clarifies the key distinction. Product operations enables decisions rather than making them. As Annabella Cesario of OutSystems explains, our product operations team acts just like a miniature product team, and our customers are the product managers. When implementing product operations, tailor your value proposition to each stakeholder group. For UX and user research, position product ops as a bridge that helps product managers become self-sufficient with research tools. For sales/marketing, emphasize how it aligns product teams with revenue goals and improves transparency. Data science benefits from seeing their analyses systematically applied to product decisions. Customer support gains a structured approach to feedback collection and distribution. Engineers appreciate the consistency in methodologies and earlier involvement in roadmap planning. As the first product operations hire at Amplitude, Shintaro Matsui took an iterative approach focused on quick wins rather than attempting massive transformations. He conducted a three-step discovery process. a listening tour of 35 one-on-one interviews across the organization, clustering pain points for impact, and plotting needs in an impact effort matrix. Matsui's first win addressed the common complaint that the product team was a black box. He created a simple monthly product newsletter, sharing updates on what the product team was working on. Though product managers spent just 5 minutes filling templates, the newsletter had immediate impact with the go-to-market team, preventing alignment issues and reducing ad hoc inquiries. For his second win, he tackled inconsistent product development processes. Rather than imposing a top-down solution, he co-created an alpha process with stakeholders and piloted it with just one pod. By framing the process as here to support you and letting product managers take ownership, he achieved genuine bottom-up adoption. Most product operations functions start small rather than adding large teams immediately. The approach typically involves identifying the most critical need and building from there. As Christine Itwaru's experience at Pendo demonstrates, starting with a single focused role can lead to significant growth. Her team expanded from 1 to 11 members in under 2 years. Starting with a team of one offers the advantage of easier approval compared to requesting an entire new function. Hugo Froese from OLX Motors Europe demonstrates that a single person can significantly impact product operations while evangelizing the discipline. His key advice? Resist becoming the default problem solver for unwanted tasks by clearly defining your vision, mission, and strategy for product operations from the beginning. When scaling beyond one person, you can be more intentional about addressing multiple needs across the three pillars simultaneously. At Sam's Club, CPO Tim Simmons recognized the opportunity to unlock capacity through efficiency and improve work quality through product operations. With CEO's support, he created a staggered hiring plan for directors across core product operations functions. Finding the right people for product operations often starts with internal talent who've already identified and solved discrete problems. When hiring externally, match candidates to specific pillars based on their skills and experience. For data and insights roles, seek candidates with consulting backgrounds, Excel mastery, SQL skills, and storytelling abilities. Process and governance roles require product management experience, tool expertise, and high emotional intelligence. Customer insights may come from user research backgrounds. When structuring your product operations team, you'll need to decide between embedding specialists with individual product teams or creating a centralized shared service model. Neither approach is inherently superior. Each has distinct advantages and disadvantages that must be weighed against your organization's specific needs, culture, and product complexity. Blake Samick brings rare experience founding and expanding product operations at multiple companies, including OpenAI, Uber, and Stripe. At Uber and Stripe, he built product operations from a team of one to over 70 and 50 people, respectively. His approach focused on creating leverage through streamlining core processes and efficiently bringing new products into operation. He developed frameworks for scaling, transitioning from manual processes to more systematic approaches, and eventually moved from a centrally funded free service model to having product teams fund their embedded product operations partners, POPs. The product operations community is remarkably transparent about sharing lessons learned. From conversations with numerous practitioners, several recurring themes emerged that are crucial for success. Executive support is essential, whether establishing product operations from scratch or expanding an existing function. Some executives, like Sam's Club CPO Tim Simmons, initiate the function themselves, while in other cases, it grows organically when a product manager identifies and addresses operational gaps. Regardless of origin, securing C-suite buy-in is critical. Organizational culture is critical to product operations success. As Helmut Stuber of Tricentis notes, the cultural aspect is as important as the technical one. Leaders must actively reinforce the value of product operations by consistently using the data it produces in decision-making processes like QBRs and strategy planning. Product operations must connect product usage data with business outcomes to deliver maximum value. While engagement metrics provide leading indicators, they're insufficient without understanding how product decisions impact revenue, churn, and other business metrics. This analytical capability to connect product metrics to business metrics is product operations' secret sauce. Since product operations is a cost center rather than directly revenue generating, demonstrating value quickly is crucial. Focus on creating quick wins that address the organization's most acute needs while acknowledging you can't solve everything at once. Product operations isn't about creating process for process's sake, but providing ways of working that help teams focus on doing the work rather than figuring out how to do it. The key is finding the right balance between providing structure and maintaining flexibility. While product operations may only exist in about 20% of software companies today, this percentage could double within 5 years, particularly for enterprise-level companies building multiple products in parallel. The function will likely evolve toward more centralized models with increased automation and better observability systems that help product teams gain leverage. Information flow will become an even greater focus, with manual processes eventually transitioning to scalable software solutions, similar to how concierge experiments work in product development. Large enterprises transitioning to software companies stand to gain the most from product operations as a key accelerant, while successful product operations teams are already expanding by absorbing adjacent functions like engineering operations. Career paths in product operations are proving viable, with some leaders like OutSystems' Annabella Cesario moving from VP of Product Operations to VP of Product Management, demonstrating that the function is here to stay and will continue to grow as more companies recognize its multifaceted leverage. Small, timely improvements can contribute more to long-term success than major process overhauls. Whether you're establishing product operations from scratch or evolving an existing function, the key is to customize your approach to your company's specific situation, find like-minded supporters within your organization, demonstrate value quickly through proof-of-concept initiatives, and connect with the broader product operations community for ongoing support and guidance.